Here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening from Fort Lauderdale. This is Nate Klarfeld with Stonewall Live, the best of gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight I have one of the authors of The Hard Body Chronicles, written by Jake Smith and Luca Barbieri. The book follows the exploits of eight gay men who become four infamous couples as their lives intersect and intertwine against the backdrop of the international gay party scene. From Ibiza to Miami to the Black Party to the Morning Party in Fire Island, it was a time to celebrate life. Let's welcome Luca Barbieri. Hello there.
Hey, Nate. How are you?
I'm doing great, Luca. How are you doing down in Miami tonight?
It is a lovely 70-something degrees, and I just came in from outside, and I have bare feet.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'll get much better than that.
You can't get – well, I don't know. I'm on the beach overlooking the ocean in Fort Lauderdale. We're not in the same room. And it's about 75 degrees. I'm about 10 stories up, and the palm trees are whistling outside my window, and I've got the window
open. This is why we live in South Florida.
This is, and that was to make the whole – fucking rest of the world jealous. We can
the rest
say anything.
Of the country go, oh, they must hate us now.
I know. That's okay. Well, let's talk about your book. I had so much fun. It's called The Hard Body Chronicles. It's a romaniclif, which means, what does it mean? What does a romaniclif mean?
Well, actually, we were certain that nobody would know. So on the back of the book, we put a definition.
Oh, we did.
We did. And so our definition is a novel in which real persons or actual events figure under disguise. In other words, this is all drawn from reality and may or may not be based on real people.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the reality. The listeners here may or may not know something about reading the show page, but this captures a slice of gay life approximately from what – time frame are we talking about?
The book takes place from basically 94 to 96. And as you mentioned, it's the story of eight men from very diverse backgrounds who come together as four couples. And they're based in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, L.A., and New York. And through the world of the circuit parties, they all come to know each other and lives become tangled up, and it's a very sexy, trashy, gay soap opera in its most fundamental form, and it's a really good, he said modestly, slice of history from a period that will never come again. The circuit parties were a moment in time that were just a celebratory time.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get back.
We moved beyond that.
Okay.
That's the time frame of the book.
94 to 96. What about what they did have in common, all of them, every single one of them, was a gorgeous body, a beautiful face, a beautiful body, a dedication to keeping that body as currency to get into beds, to get into nightclubs, to get into fabulous parties, to get into fabulous business relationships, and
okay.
whether – Yeah, and so
it was the cult of the muscle man, which we still have around us today, but back then it was a fairly new phenomenon. And it was unfortunately a direct outcome of the AIDS crisis, as wasting syndrome occurred, steroids moved from the closeted little community of the bodybuilding world and entered the gay world, and when men saw their friends suddenly becoming these buff, big beasts.
Right.
Everybody wanted part of that.
Sure.
And it just it took off and was no longer the bodybuilder's secret, but was something that was fully integrated into the gay community by the 90s. So yeah, you have this sort of cult of muscle that emerged, and the characters, not all of them, there are two older characters who don't fit that definition, but by and large, most of the others do. and they enjoy their sexuality and their masculinity to the max in this book.
And the older characters, of course, have the other power, and that is money.
Exactly. There's a couple that is based in L.A. where one of the older gentlemen is a power player in Hollywood, and has his trophy boyfriend, and his trophy boyfriend is his entree into this entire world. And of course, it works the other way, where the trophy boyfriend is suddenly moving in Hollywood circles that he could never have dreamed of before. So the book sort of jumps around from place to place as the parties move from place to place. And so we've got everywhere from Ibiza to Fire Island to Laguna to London showing up as part and parcel in this novel.
Right. So let's get back to what made you write this book. You and Jake, You and Jake are partners. You're Jake are partners in the book. You wrote yourself into the book.
We are partners. We are characters in the book. We are partners in life. And these are our stories from our wild years. The gist of it was that we have a third in our relationship. And we have had a third in our relationship for 13 years.
Wow.
We are a truple, as I guess we're called.
Okay.
And for the first 5 years, we, husband and I, traveled the circuit world. And when we met our second husband, we were telling him all of the tales of what we had done and how our lives had been and the parties we'd gone to. And he was just incredulous. If you weren't part and parcel of that world, you may not even know that it existed.
Correct.
But it was a remarkable world. And so as we were telling him these tales, he would say to us, you know, you really should pull these together and put a book together, because your stories are so over the top and so so wild.
Right.
And lo and behold, that's what we ended up doing. It took us a while to pull it together. We started with a manuscript of 700 pages, cut it down to 300, and tell the insider's tale of what it's like to move within that very sort of rarefied world.
Right.
And a world that had money and glamour and muscle and drugs and sex.
Right.
It was every gay man's dream.
It was. It really was. I happen to have been part of that. I'm 62. I was on the East Coast, Northeast. I went to school in New York in the early 70s. Was part of the little Fire Island crew as a young little kid that people brought along for the weekend to play with, and then later on with partners at the White Party and the Morning Party in Fire Island. So actually, I was there at probably one of the parties you're talking about, because coincidence works that way, and then there are no accidents, and there are.
You
no
were the one with your shirt off. I remember you.
I don't know. I had a little hair. I had a little bit of hair on my chest. Most people didn't. I didn't always shave all the way, but I did have a hotter body back then. And I was in the cult of muscle. I was, worried about the gym, worried about stared at the mirror for hours, worried about the visual, and
trying to get the perfect look, and in the case of most of us, just taking every hair off your body from the neck down.
Yes,
weekend spent of grooming to prepare yourself for the parties that weekend.
Oh my God, it was a week of grooming. What I really wanted to talk about was more than just a soap opera. You mentioned a little bit of slice of history. There's been a lot of books that have been written that have mentioned about circuit parties and have been part of it, but it's never really gotten into the nuts and bolts of how these people met, and you really capture that in a lot of the relationships on how these people hooked up and created their long-term relationships, and I want to congratulate you on that. I'm going to take a minute to do a plug right now. The Hard Body Chronicles by Jake Smith and Luca Barbieri is available on Amazon.com. You can follow their exploits at their own website, hardbodychronicles.com, spelled out just that way, one word, hardbodychronicles.com. And they're also available, you can follow them on Facebook. Just plug in Hard Body Chronicles and you will find them. So again, Amazon.com, available on Kindle and trade paperback. I have a copy of both. I have both in trade paper and Kindle, and I want you to know that the photographs, which we're going to talk about right now, come out beautifully both in the book and on your Kindle. Tell us about the photographs, Jeff Palmer's work.
Jeff Palmer, he's been around for quite some time. He's in his 60s now. He is best known for his calendar. But he found me and asked me to model for him in the early 90s. And I asked if it would be all right if my husband accompanied me. And so we did several photo sessions with him in the mid-90s that took place in Miami and Palm Springs, where he is based. And we were trying to figure out how to give the book a gravitas, if you were. And the photographs are what do that. They are photographs of the two of us where you don't see our faces in any of the photographs, and they're very sensual, if not erotic photographs, but they're not there's nothing pornographic about them. They're sensual. I think that's the word that I'm really looking for. They're sensual. And those nine photographs that appear in the book of the two of us really are sort of a quiet Greek chorus to the chaos that ensues as the book progresses, of people's lives becoming tangled up and some of their lives unraveling. What I wanted to make clear, though, was even though this isn't a book about circuit parties such, everything takes place against the backdrop of that, but this is really a story of how gay men form their relationships and with their partners and with their friends, and how they create a community of, if not a family, within that, and the fractions and the challenges that come with trying to put that all together.
Right, and how they met in that period of time. Of course, right now we've turned into a completely different way that gay men meet, interact, and speak, which they practically don't.
Nothing is the same.
Nothing is the same.
This slice of history from the mid-90s, the book is it depicts a moment. Well, there are different things that happen, but the bit of history is that it was a time when the internet was just coming around. It was before everyone was stuck to their computers or their phones, texting and trying to find a playmate that way. And it was the days of when the bars still existed, and that was your way of socializing and meeting people.
Right.
And so it follows through on that. And and the other things that are happening at the same time are the AIDS crisis is
sure
changing. There's that moment in the book when suddenly the drugs become available that will prolong your life. There's hopelessness that pervaded everything gives way to some element of hope, and that hope and celebration are what these people get involved with. Well, all these men get involved with through the circuit parties and through their lives themselves.
Yeah, for those listeners, and I do want to do a quick mention to Luca. I do know who my listeners are. We have systems of ways of knowing, and I get a lot of feedback. My listeners are a little younger, so for them, this is truly history. And one of the things you touched on about when the drugs came out, it was like a light switch going on in our community. In other words, everyone that was HIV positive before the first Sequinivar and Crixivan came out, I think
it was no longer a death sentence. If you didn't go through that period, it's tough to understand the bleak hopelessness that there was. That if you were diagnosed as being HIV positive, that was simply a death sentence.
You were dead.
And when those first drugs arrived in 94, 95, AZT and the sort, there was this eruption of of celebration and hope
Correct.
That came forth from the community.
Right.
And at the same time that that's happening, and this is portrayed in the book as well, you have these empowering moments, such mm-hmm. as Stonewall 25.
Right.
And all the characters are in New York for Stonewall 25. You get
right.
you get the varying perspectives of how they mm-hmm. experience that. But
right.
what comes through loud and clear, regardless of the different types of experiences, is everyone comes away from that empowered, realizing that
exactly.
if you've got 500,000 to 750,000 people in Central, gay men and women in Central Park, for
exactly.
the first time ever getting those numbers together,
right.
it was a transformative moment.
Correct. And it was a light switch. It was one day you were going to three memorial services a week. The next week you were going to the gym, you know, buying underwear and getting ready to go to Florida. You were going on, you know, there was hope. It was hope. It was the word
exactly.
really was hope. And you
exactly.
did capture that in the area of the Stonewall 25, which was another switch. It was a lot of perfect storm coming together. You had the internet. You had one of the things that we talked about earlier when we chatted was money. This took an incredible amount of money
and it was during the heyday of the Clinton years when everyone was making money, when the economy was booming. When
right.
there was this optimism that the Berlin Wall had fallen in 89 and 9/11 had yet to occur. So you had this 10-year stretch of just real optimism.
Correct.
Within
right.
the country and within the gay community, and this empowerment that was coming from just the sheer numbers of people coming together.
Right.
And we as participants and as characters in the book ride the crest of that moment.
Right.
You see the gay world from our insider's perspective.
Exactly. Yeah, you're exactly right. That little insider's perspective, those little nuances, the ways people met, the way they talked about each other behind their back, which was hilarious. And that's funny, but the most interesting part was these people really did get to know each other before they hooked up. It wasn't just, yes, there was a lot of, you know, casual sex going on, but you are talking about people that had relationships over a several year period. Right now, as you know, everyone's meeting on Grindr. Gay bars are dying. People are even questioning whether there's going to be gay bars in a few years because the straight bars are kind of welcoming and people are kind of mixed up. What do you think? Why do you think this will never happen again? You mentioned that earlier when we spoke, that you think this little slice of time came
you
together.
You had a confluence of all these different things that were happening that created that moment. The change of therapies that gave a glimmer of hope, the economy that was booming, the gathering together of the tribe, if you will, at these mm-hmm. various circuit parties, reaffirming that power and reaffirming mm-hmm. the sort of strength in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that just aren't going to happen anymore. And you had a gay community that was still living in, not all of it, but you still had gay ghettos. You still had this mentality of there is safety in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And so you lived in the gay community within Chicago or L.A. or San Francisco, wherever that may
right.
have been.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the mentality of the day.
Right,
People still, you only find now in Fort Lauderdale and, say, Palm Springs, where there's that sort of gay ghetto mentality of
mm-hmm.
of wanting to be in an all-gay world. That isn't the case anymore. We are integrated on
we're everywhere.
We're everywhere, and we've been so integrated in. And a younger generation doesn't mm-hmm. see the need for exclusively gay
right.
bars and clubs in the sewer. They are
sure.
they're with everybody.
Right, right.
You're not going to see that moment rise again.
Yeah,
Of course, as you move further away from that transformative moment of celebration,
uh-huh.
of having something to finally celebrate, the drugs change, the attitudes change, and there becomes a sense of, as you move towards the latter part of the book, of partying for the sake of partying, of excess for the sake of excess.
Right.
There are prices to be paid that some of the characters, they don't necessarily make it to the end of the book.
Right, right. When you expect, and you almost expect that, but you know, because that happens in the gay community. I actually agree with you 100%. I am an advisor to a high school gay straight alliance that kids are as young as 14. My partner is a psychiatrist, and we chaperone the gay prom here in town with 500 teenagers that show up, and they couldn't care less. And they don't understand why there has to be a gay and lesbian community center or any of these things, because they've been totally integrated in their lives. Of course, this is I live in a bubble. This is the bubble of Broward County in Fort Lauderdale. But we're everywhere. The 2010 census showed that there are gay people living in every county in the United States. So we are everywhere. Things have changed. We are not as ghettoized and living in 2, 3, 5, 8 cities.
Nor do most of us want to be anymore.
No.
We want what everyone wants, which is just acceptance.
Right, just people. Not, we don't want gay marriage. We just want marriage.
Right.
It's just the same. There's no gay marriage. It's no different. It's the same thing. It's the same boring thing that the straight people do. Okay, let me do another little plug. Hard Body Chronicles by Jake Smith and Luca Barbieri is available on Amazon.com. And also you can follow their exploits at hardbodychronicles.com. And they're also on Facebook at Hard Body Chronicles. Just look at Heart Body Chronicles on Facebook. I just tried that to make sure it worked. Okay, so back to the book. Okay, this book.
Go ahead.
If you had a young, hot young man come up to you, 22-year-old kid come up to you and say, "I want to write a book," what would you tell him?
Sit down and start writing.
Good.
I had been in advertising for 16 years, and so I knew how to write great 5-word headlines. Mm-hmm. I'm really good at that. But putting together a 300-page book, I was clueless.
Uh-huh.
So we simply sat down and wrote. And then it was a process of going through, trying to pull together our ideas, giving rough drafts to friends to read, getting critical feedback, and then going through 25 edits, looking for different things each time we went through the book. I think I've read the book 40 times before it finally went to press.
Wow.
And,
holy
cow. And cutting and editing and tightening and shifting and moving. And
wow.
And I, through the process, it's not so much the writing that is challenging. I think most people can sit down and write. But it's a matter of getting it to be tightly woven, coherent, and have a flow to it. That is the tough part, and that is all through the editing. And I learned how to write a book by editing the book over and over and over again till I felt that I had something that was a good, solid read.
Good. Now you,
Jake, I'm very proud of it. And it's titled The Chronicles because it's written as if it were almost entries in a diary. You get what's happening with one couple at, for example, at Stonewall 25, and then it shifts to the next couple in their perspective. So it's a lot of bite-sized pieces of information. So it's a very easy read as you go through, even though you have multiple storylines going on.
Right. Right, and it is. You're right. It does follow like a diary. That's very cool. Hold on, just a minute. We are okay. No, that was a caller, but they disappeared. So back to the writing. Okay, this is you and Jake wrote this together. Jake, your long-term partner. Did this writing? Were there any conflicts? Did it make you stronger? Did it pull you apart? How'd it go with the two of you writing together?
It actually went far better than I could ever have imagined because we were both it was part reminiscent for us. It was part pulling together our own history. As characters in the book, we had to find a way to present ourselves as far more interesting than we actually are.
Oh, please. Don't burst my bubble. I have this hot view of you, both of you. Come on, having fun.
Well, if you read the book and you come to the characters of Luca and Jake, you will find out about porn shoots and
right.
escorting and all
sure.
the underbelly elements of the gay world that
right.
are presented there.
All the fantasies that everybody wants to do. That while I'm a retired dentist, my partner's a retired psychiatrist. We've been in the gay world, all of our lives, but. We never had, the fantasy is the porn shoots. The fantasy is being, being an escort. The fantasy is running into Mr. Underwear and Mr. Movie Mogul and all these other things, which, of course.
And I did all of the above.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to do any of that stuff. And my partner and I used to write together, but it did make ourselves a little stronger. Your book was published. Is it a self-published book, or did this go through a publisher? I did not check.
This is self-published.
Okay.
We wanted to have full and complete control over the content, both the visual and the written.
Right.
And we were able to do that. It is published through Amazon. It is print on demand, so we have been able to update as we see fit.
Right.
As the book goes along.
Yes.
But getting back to the writing process of working together, it really was something that did pull us together. We were on a mission, and we wanted to tell this tale of what our lives were like almost 20 years ago, and the wildness
Great.
Was part of that whole life and experience. I'm not certain that life is quite as wild as it may have been back then, but of course we are slightly older and we are a slightly more conservative country at this point.
That is correct, but things are still pretty wild out there. I've heard some great stories, but you're right. I don't think there's the tribal part of it. I don't think there's the. I think people go to these parties and don't feel. I think there still are. There's still a white party. There's still a winter party. There's still all the Atlantis and RSVP cruises. But I don't think you get that feeling anymore of a celebration. I don't think you get that feeling of.
No, that's what made the circuit parties so unique. Certainly during the early days, when it was, you were happy to be alive.
Sure.
You were thrilled to just be alive. You were thrilled to have escaped the plague.
Right.
And you danced for your life.
Sure. Exactly.
And it was a very, very different moment, a very different time frame. And you have to remember that at that point in time, the drug of choice was ecstasy.
Sure.
Who could ask for better? Who could ask for a better drug?
Sure, better. Oh my God! Yeah.
Where you just you love everyone and you're just having the best time and
right.
It as the drugs changed, the circuit parties changed, and as G entered the scene, and people would fall out if not actually drop dead from it.
Right.
That changed as Tina entered the scene. It
right.
became this sort of frenzy that didn't
sure.
have the love bug element that ecstasy brought with it. And so as the drugs changed, the parties changed, and that. Moment
right.
slipped away.
Right, and I agree with you. The crystal meth, Tina, and G are a much more inward-looking drug. It's just about you, and ecstasy is I want 50 people in a big hug. I want to dance with 70 people. I want my arms to go around. Am I getting too
right.
explicit
there,
here?
You would see what was referred to as the ecstasy huddle. Of these
right.
guys all with their arms all around one another on
yes.
the dance floor, just telling each other how much they loved each other and dancing in the
right.
huddle and having this wonderful time. With G or K or Tina, that is not the experience. And
right.
Going to parties later on in the book, going to parties where you would see these bug-eyed boys who had been awake
right.
for 3 days, you would just think
sure.
to yourself, oh my God, this isn't pretty anymore. This isn't
no,
fun
it isn't.
Anymore. This isn't the experience that I initially had, and it's not working for me anymore.
Luca,
so
this is the
everything changed.
Everything changed. Luca, we're to come to the end of our show. It's like 19 seconds left. I cannot believe how fast this 30 minutes went. Can you?
It was a wonderful time. Thank you for having me.
And thank you, and good night from Fort Lauderdale. Thanks, Luca. Good night.
Good night.